time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of CBD. You can participate and have your specific questions answered by emailing sweethomecannabama.com. And now for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm your host, Jennifer Boozer, owner and founder of Cannabama, the CBD store. We are located at 558 St. Francis Street in downtown Mobile on the corner of St. Francis and Warren, just a block up from Wenzel's and just behind the Delta Bike Project, in a beautiful, refurbed, super old, but awesome corner. And we have had a great Christmas. I hope you guys had a great Christmas. You can find us online, too, at www.cannabama.com. We have an online store there, but we know most of you like to come in and visit. So we have plenty of spots to sit and coffee to drink and lots of education. I'm excited because this is our last show for the year. And not sad at all. Ready to get it done. I know I just told somebody yesterday, I know the date on the calendar probably isn't really going to change anything, but let's just hope that the next year brings with it a little bit of something good, because this year has been, wow. Well, I don't think I can use the words that I want to use on the radio and not lose my show. Anyway, y'all all know, you know, we've all lost things. We've lost jobs. We've lost stores. We've lost money. We've lost time. We've lost people. Time with people. I mean, I've had so many friends whose parents or someone that they love were in the hospital and dying, and they couldn't go and be with them. And my heart goes out to them for the lack of closure. It just seems like COVID has taken just about everything from every corner of our lives from us, and I'm really praying that it'll end. You know, I just none of it makes sense to me. I try to make it make sense, and it doesn't. But you know, let's don't beat a dead horse, and we're gonna have a good time tonight. We are gonna talk to a company tonight that is a new vendor of ours, but we have really had trouble keeping their stuff in stock. So we're going to talk to one of the co-founders in just a moment. We had some great Christmas sales. We're going to continue that. This week, we're going to have a blowout sale for New Year's Eve. And we are going to be open until 7 o'clock on New Year's Eve on Thursday. So I have some really great Delta 8 flower, some new edibles coming, and of course, we're always stocking with all of our foundation products that people have come to rely on in the CBD category, as well as the Delta 8. I'm getting some more moon rocks, guys, and the tie sticks and tarantulas. For those of you who don't know what those are, they are super cool cone joints that are painted with distillate, rolled in keef, and then the tie sticks are then rolled in shake. And if you know those terms, you know how awesome that is. If not, well, it'd be a good time to try something new. You don't have to use very much of it. And I met a special lady today. I had several customers today that were just passing through, and apparently the Carolinas have opened up floodgates and all come to Mobile, because at least two of the three or four people that came in that were coming from out of town were from North or South Carolina. But this lady came in, and she had a huge personality. Her name was Stephanie, and I told her I might mention her on the show because, you know, a lot of times, you know, I'm in and out. I don't have a set schedule in the store. I'm out taking care of all the stuff that has to be taken care of behind the scenes. And so it's hit or miss sometimes, you know, to be able to catch me in the store. But today, I believe, was Providence. I met Stephanie. I overheard her talking to my son, Isaiah, and she was very excited. And she kept saying, "I'm just so excited. This stuff is amazing. It's helped me so much. I could just cry." And so I got up and started talking to her, and she's in recovery. And I know you all know that I'm in recovery, but she basically let me know that she had tried, she had been 7.5 years clean and relapsed, and it was a hard relapse, and she could not stop. And she smoked, and she stopped. And it was like the key in the lock for her. She said she spent those seven and a half years angry. She was, you know, she said, I was mean. I just was unpleasant and I was miserable. And she said, but when I started smoking and I started using the oils and the products, she said, I just felt like a real person, you know. She was able to sit with her kids and be one-on-one with her kids and enjoy herself. She was able to, you know, not drink, not be tempted to use. And she was using crack. I know she won't mind me saying that because we discussed it. And I'd love to have her on the show, but that's a hardcore thing, y'all. That's a hardcore thing. And she said she had been using since she was 12 years old, and she's 40. So that's a stronghold right there. That's a stronghold from hell. And so she was just, several times she kept saying, I just want to cry. I'm so excited. One thing she mentioned that was interesting was that she texted me after she left and said that now that she's using cannabis products to be clean and stay clean, she's sort of lost her place in the recovery world because, you know, other than Angie's house, nobody is interested right now. And we're always hoping and praying for a chance to educate other programs. But right now, Angie's house is the only place that I know of in Alabama, especially, that is using any form of cannabis to help these women detox and stay off of their drugs of choice. And so she feels like an outcast now because in the recovery community, cannabis is equal to alcohol, it's equal to heroin, it's equal to meth in their minds because of the way that people look at weed and recreational and against the law and habit forming and all those things. And it goes back to a lack of education, which is why we do what we do here at Sweet Home Cannabama. We want to be able to teach the public at large, especially the recovery community, especially people on pain management who feel like this is all there is ever going to be. We want to teach what it is, what it isn't, and how it's used, and how to vet products on your own so that no matter where you are, whether it's Cannabama, we will help you out. We will give you the best products on the market. We will give you the best answers we can. But you may have a preference. You may have a brother-in-law that has a store and you want to be loyal to them. We are supportive of that. You may be on vacation. We want you to know how to find the right products for you. So anyway, enough about that. Hopefully we'll get Stephanie on the show eventually, and we might have to do that by phone because I believe she says she's from South Carolina. Anyway, tonight we're going to be talking to one of the co-founders of a new Delta 8 company, and it is called Highstick. And his name is John Bonds. He's co-founder and sales director. John, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Jen. Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Yes, welcome to the show. It's so good to have you. We had such a great conversation earlier. I'm excited to have you.
Yeah, absolutely excited to be here. You know, I know you're doing a lot of good things. We sought out your store. We noticed that, you know, you guys are doing a lot of really positive things, both for the industry, for small business culture, but also for your customers. You know, this isn't just a transaction. You know, all of your stories of people that, you know, struggle with addiction and yeah. They're finding all this healing. You know, we found that we've had multiple customers reach out to us saying that, you know, they had, a severe alcohol dependence or addiction even. And even after they're, you know, clean for a long time, they find those urges. And having products like Delta 8 or CBD or hemp, it's an excellent crutch for people to be able to enjoy medicine in a healthy way without relapsing.
So right. One of the things that they talk about is that balanced feeling that they just feel normal. And I remember that, you know, I know in my research, because I was an opiate addict, it takes the brain, you know, 2 years plus to even start to function normally. And CBD apparently it just sort of skips over all that. It starts to repair the brain. It starts to wake it up. It uses the endocannabinoid system to light up the brain in ways that it was dormant because that's what it does. You know, when you take a drug, it sort of overrides your natural ability with pain, to regulate pain, to release endorphins and dopamine to deal with pain naturally. And it sort of just wakes all that up. And then it helps with the symptoms, the cravings. And that's the most beautiful thing that I've learned. And it's an amazing, amazing thing to watch We hear it over and over and over. We have to go to a break in just a few minutes, but when we come back, I'm super excited for you to tell us about High Stick and about how you personally got into the cannabis industry, because I have not heard. I told you that I wanted you to tell it, but we didn't get to talk about that part. So when we come back from the break in just a few minutes, we'll get to know you. High Stick, your cartridges are flying off the shelf. So people are really loving them, and we appreciate the care and the quality of your product. So when we come back, we're gonna talk to John about High Stick. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm Jennifer, your host, and we are talking tonight with John Bonds from High Stick. John, you there?
Absolutely.
All right. Well,
how you doing?
Let's get started. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, what did you do before this? We all did something before this. And, you know, how you sort of found yourself getting into the cannabis industry.
Sure. Thank you. So I've always been a very staunch cannabis advocate. I found that at a very early age, I just noticed the, you know, hypocrisy in general culture, I could say, of America, how, you know, people, where it's completely acceptable for people to drink all the time.
Right.
But then people who use cannabis, where it would be frowned upon and shamed and, you know, so on and so forth.
Right.
So that was kind of when I started, you know, experimenting with cannabis, using CBD, hemp, those kinds of things. I wasn't more of like the let's go out and party. I would like stay home and read about it.
So right.
I always loved to really have that angle on it and be more of the, like, you know, eye in the sky. So that was always my, and then I've also suffered from depression. And that was always, you know, a really nice way for me to level and function in a healthy way without having to reach for perhaps prescription drugs or
right.
or anything else. So,
yeah.
I mean, the older I got, the more that cannabis and hemp and CBD revealed themselves to me as far and away the best form of medicine that, you know, people can use on a daily basis to better their lives or, you know, or there's various neuroprotective properties for people who are trying to, you know, suffering from addiction,
right.
as you mentioned, with the CBD. So that lent itself to be, you know, I was always something that I was studying in the background or I was, you know, telling my friends about or things like that. And then, so I ended up through various careers on training, physical therapy, training, that kind of thing. And I found that CBD is something that's really, really powerful with recovery. And how people, you can really see like a night and day difference in how fast people can recover if they have a proper CBD regimen.
Right.
It lowers inflammation. They can recover faster. They can train harder. They can hit those goals faster, potentially. So there, that was also something that opened my eyes. And then as far as my entrance into the cannabis industry, it was, this is our maiden voyage. You know, really honored, excited, grateful that High Stick has been received so well. You know, our Delta 8 company is coming into the market as people are becoming aware of it as medicine, as a product,
right.
as a substitute. So we're definitely grateful for this timing and finding this team that we've put together. We've got, you know, I think he's been referred to as a wizard previously. That's our genius on you know, manufacturing and operations. That's Matthew Santen. So he's absolutely, you know, been essential. We've got Ian Bush on marketing director. So we've got just really slowly pulled together people that had a balance of skills and deficits. So we would really work as a team very well. Chris Wilcox is a co-sales director with me. He handles our West Coast sales. And then we also have Richard Ashton. He handles our all of our social media presence, various platforms. And we all bring different skills and experiences both in and out of the cannabis industry. And so that has allowed us to really form this company in a very unique perspective. You know, so we're looking at it in more of a, how can we do the most good, and how can we reach the most people and help the most people, instead of just being another company that's trying to race it to the top. It's like, how can we play this the long game and help the most people?
Right.
You know?
Well, I know that Matthew has had a lot of conversations with Isaiah, and it's funny because I'm like, who are you talking to? He's like, oh, I'm just talking to Matthew. I'm like, who's Matthew? So apparently they've hit it off. I know that my staff actually are the ones that brought Highstick to me and said, hey, we should buy these, you know, these look really great. And they talked me into it. You know, I have a ton of money invested in all the products that were in all of my stores, and I lost all of them but one. So I have a lot of product and not a lot of cash. And it's been traumatic almost for me to agree to spend a couple hundred here, a couple hundred there. And I'm like, okay, you guys, but this better be good. And I, you know, we went out on a limb and did it. And I'm really glad that we did, because people have really enjoyed the variety of strains you guys have. The quality, the packaging is great. It's simple. It's sleek. Because that does matter. People will skip over something great if it looks not great. I'm trying to be kind here, because sometimes I get products and they're great, and I'm like, I can't sell this. No one will touch this because it's very, you know, it's not very professional. And so you guys, really, you hit a home run. I can't say enough about how much we love the presentation, the quality, the variety, and everything about what you guys are doing is top of the line. So congratulations on your maiden voyage being, you know, a total success in my book.
Thank you so much. Yeah, well, I appreciate all of that.
Yeah, and you guys
want to look at it in a way that, you know, the thing, you could probably cook the most delicious meal in the world, but if it doesn't look pretty,
right,
people are going to give it a try.
Right.
So it's like, how do you position? Because I'm sure there's other great products that just maybe aren't positioned for her properly, or they aren't looking at it from the right angle, or, you know. So it's a lot of making the right decisions at the right time.
Right. I know when I first started, I designed my own logo, and I kept thinking, well, I don't have a choice because I can't afford to hire somebody to do it. And I worried for a little while, like, is it too elementary? Is it too simple? Is it cheesy? You know, but I've gotten really good reception on it. And of course the name goes a long way. Everybody loves the name. So, even people in weed love the name. They're like, it's the best name in cannabis. I'm like, you're right. It is. I can't take credit because God gave me that name and that vision, but, it is a great name. But the logo, you know, I didn't want people to overlook me because, you know, my logo was simple or it wasn't sophisticated enough. There's a lot. I mean, some people just don't think that way, though. You know, sometimes the owner should have nothing to do with the logo.
Stand by it. But you had to make that decision as a business owner and stand by
it. Right.
And it looks like it's done well for you. You know?
Well, you know.
It's a little bit of just having to make those calls of, like, I think this is who I am. You know? And,
right.
You know, definitely you guys have clearly done very, very well with branding.
Yeah, well, I think now I'm glad that it's on the simple side, because, I mean, look at the Nike swoosh. I mean, what's simpler than that? You know, the golden arches, those are very recognizable and very, very simple logos, but it's easy for people to remember. And, you know, I'm hopefully one day the Cannabama logo will be right up there with them.
I don't doubt it.
Well, you know, I hope that we'll get a fair shot whenever Alabama finally legalizes. Hopefully we'll get a fair shot at it because of our reputation, because of the way we do things, because of the way that I have been the loudest and the proudest. I don't think there's anybody else in Alabama who talks as much or as loud about it as I do. And, you know, my lawyer, he always is like, Jennifer, you don't have to be the one. But I'm like, yeah, but I think I do. I think I have to be the one. And I'm cool with that. If you, long as you keep telling me I can't go to jail, I'm good.
Cheers to that.
It's, well, you know, I don't know how it is where you live, but around here. You know, people think they've had their mind made up about you before they know a single thing, you know, and I get that everywhere I go. You know, I come from a smaller community outside the city, and it was rough for me for a while because, you know, I'd go to my son's football games, and all of a sudden, most people wouldn't look me in the eye anymore, and it hurt my feelings real bad for a minute. But and I don't live in that community anymore. I live in Mobile, in the heart of Mobile. But you know, just opening my store in the downtown area is a totally different ball of wax. You know, the people there, the chefs and the bartenders and the business owners and the businessmen. You know. Lots of lawyers and judges and people like that. I mean, you know, real estate people, shipping magnates, all those, you know, the movers and the shakers, the tech corridor that they're building here, you know, those people are much more open-minded. And I've sort of made my own little community in downtown. But, you know, Alabama, it's rough. At Mardi Gras, I got a lot of, well, I guess we're selling drugs on the sidewalk now for a pop-up. You know, shop at Mardi Gras. I'm like, you people are drinking and eating moon pies out of the gutter, and you're looking at me crazy? You know? I mean, do you even know whose cup you're drinking out of right now?
Yeah, I completely agree with you, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, it's strange because I just knew, you know, I've said it 100 times, I'm sure, in trying to explain to my mother that I wasn't going to relapse on the weed, you know. I knew that the education was the most important part of what I do. And I try to tell other retailers now when I'm giving people advice, which is totally weird to me, not having worked in 20 years, that I'm giving business owners all over the country advice now. But I try to tell them you can't sell it. You can't pitch something that people are either sure they know or they have no idea and they're terrified of, and there's a whole lot of people being sketchy. You cannot pitch that. Nobody wants to be pitched or sold. You have to give them something of much bigger value, which is the education. And you have to be willing to say, I don't care if you shop with me. My main objective is for people to understand it and not be afraid of it, because the more that happens, the more people will come and shop with me, and I'm not afraid, you know. I'm not afraid to give you something of value for free because you'll come back. When we come back, we'll get more into High Stick and how it came to be and what you guys are planning for the future. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jennifer, your host at Sweet Home Cannabama, owner and founder of Cannabama, the CBD store in downtown Mobile. We're talking tonight with John Bonds, who is co-founder and director of sales for High Stick, and they have been providing us with amazing quality Delta 8 vape cartridges. So, John, tell us, what else do you guys have, either now or have planned? What do we got? Because I know you got more.
Yeah, you've always got to have you know, future plans.
Of course,
doing right now, and then, you know, keep your eye on the sky. Mm-hmm. So we've got right now we've got our carts, mm-hmm. our disposables. Those are 4-gram carts, 0.5-gram disposables, and then we're also coming out with tinctures very soon. Those will be ready by the end of this month, so in 2 days.
Okay, yeah.
So we've got a lot of good things coming with new packaging, trying to provide as much education as possible. We want to make sure that people don't just get a product that says, hey, this is what you have. It's like, hey, this is what is in it. This is where it was tested. This is where the, you know, this is where the organic hemp came from. This is where it sits on a spectrum of sativa to indica. You know, so you can
awesome.
Shop according to your lifestyle. You can say, oh yeah, I think I need to wind down at night. I
right.
have trouble sleeping. You know, it's like, okay, cool. Maybe you should get the Granddaddy Smurf. That's our own proprietary blend of blueberry strain mixed with Granddaddy Perp. So
I love Granddaddy Perp
really,
for my migraines so much.
Classic indica, absolutely. So that's how we want to try to position ourselves to help people shop by their lifestyle. And, you know, at the same time, trying to help those that have been disillusioned by the tradition of either, you know, like you were saying, CBD or THC, oh, we're selling drugs on the sidewalk now. Like, well, that's the person I want to talk to.
Right.
I want to have a conversation with that guy or that woman and say, hey, like, you know, why do you think that way? Because
right,
we could sit down and medically discuss, you know, the beer in your hand is way worse for you. But at the same time, you know, after a long day, I might not shy away from a cold one, you know. So it's like you have to understand where people are coming from and try to help them understand, because I think a lot of people are just angry and they're like, enough, and they really want people to just, like the government, to just legalize it. And we have to be patient and continue to educate people and do good things that get attention. Like we plant a tree for every product that we make.
Oh, and wow. So yeah, exactly, I remember that. I remember that now. That's so beautiful.
10,000 trees.
That's amazing.
And we want to make sure that, you know, this 10,000 trees that we've planted grows to 1,000,000. You know, we want to make sure that our goals for the future, and as we can afford more good to do, so to speak, you know, that's kind of how I'm viewing our profit, is like, cool, what can we do with that?
Yeah.
How many people can we share this with? And so, you know, down the line, we really have our eye on finding new ways to help those that have been marginalized by the war on drugs.
Yes.
Find jobs within the cannabis, hemp, CBD, all that new industry that's being formed. I don't know if that is in the form of job fairs, if that's, you know, who knows what the small business and, you know, job market's going to look like even 6 months from now.
Yeah.
But we want to make sure that we're at the forefront of those efforts to help people, because I live here in Massachusetts. I'm in Boston. And it's really just looking at people make hundreds of millions of dollars in a brand new industry. Well, you go down, you know, a few hundred miles even, and there's people serving 10-year sentences for possession and things like that.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's really just it's having that national conversation and trying to do really good things just for the sake of doing them, so that people look at us in a different light. That's our main goal.
I'm so glad we had this conversation, and I'm sad that we didn't have it before, because I could not agree with you more. We talk about these things all the time. I know it's not popular with some people, but it needs to be discussed. You know, I always tell people, I knew what was happening with the war on drugs, and being an empath, it broke my heart, but not until someone that I love went to prison needlessly after they violated his probation because he worked for me. He got busted with, he didn't even get busted. He got pulled over. He got profiled. He got pulled out of a car, had a crumb of hemp flower, and I know him. He didn't smoke anything but my products so that he could stay safe. And by the time we got to court, it was a blunt of weed. It was ridiculous. And I asked his lawyer, why won't they test the flower? He said, because he has a prior marijuana conviction, probable cause is enough to convict. Meaning that it's probably weed because he got in trouble for weed a long time ago. So we're going to punish him, and sent him back to federal prison for 1 year and a month. He had a 2-year-old daughter. He was 2.5 years into 3 years probation, and they put him back in jail, and I watched him be carried off in chains, and it broke me. Ooh, it was hard. I cried. I canceled my show that night. I said, y'all better run a rerun, because you do not want me on the radio tonight. I will go to jail myself. Because it was just so upsetting. And I know that sounds shallow coming from, you know, a middle-aged white woman, but it's happening. And my customers now, a lot of them are on probation. And I started to see, why are people so driven to use this plant when they could so clearly get in trouble? And I get it now, because I am an educator and I do understand the balance of the brain chemistry and the mental health. The fact that in the Black community especially, because let's face it, that's the victims of the war on drugs, is the Black community, Black males. And I'm like, why are they still so driven to do this? Why is it such a big deal? Why not just drink? Why not, you know, because I started to understand all cannabis use is medical. It doesn't matter what the user's motive is. It's all medicinal. They're driven to do it because their body craves it, because they need it. They have an entire system that needs it, and it's the one thing that makes them feel balanced. I get it now. I get why when they came in at first, they would tear up looking at the candy jars full of bud. And I used to kind of giggle and say, "Do you need a hug? Because you look like you need a hug." They would get choked up. But it was so eye opening because they don't even understand why. And I want them to understand why. If they're going to put themselves at risk, they need to understand why they're driven to do it. They're not just getting high with their friends, you know? And I think it's terrible that look, all around us now, Mississippi legalized. What the heck? Mississippi is the last everything. I'm sorry, Mississippi. I know y'all can hear me, but dang.
I know y'all can hear me.
I know you can. I know at least to Biloxi. But, I mean, we love y'all, but seriously, come on. We've got to be better at something than just football. It's a joke. It's a joke. Alabama, I mean, I'm sorry, but y'all are punking yourselves out here. Everyone around us, Florida legalized, you know, Mississippi legalized, Louisiana's legalized. Before you know it, it'll be Georgia. You know, I mean, come on, we're going to bleed money in every direction. You would be so surprised. And you may have met some of these people. I know so many people that live in Colorado. They live in California. They live in Oregon. They're from Alabama. They took the skills they learned here in farming, in agriculture, and they got their education, and then they left. And that doesn't include the marijuana refugees who uprooted their families so their kids could stop getting brain damage every 5 minutes from seizures. What are we doing? You know,
me, that was definitely a very cut and dry moment where it was, you know, when you can see for those specific disorders how it can drastically improve someone's life, even save their life.
Well, you shouldn't have to give up.
No brainer.
Your child shouldn't have to choose between being functional and healthy and having grandparents or going on vacation or anything like, you know, having any kind of life because of a plant.
Yeah, having to move and then being confined to that legal state. Yeah,
right. Absolutely. Because they can't leave. They cannot leave.
It's a system that needs to be part of that larger conversation of, as a nation, of, you know, where do we stand on addiction, on marijuana, on the general, you know, consensus as a nation, as a people, Americans, how do we feel about this? You know, because
right.
The majority of the states, you know, I believe there's only 11 states that we can't sell in.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like there are the vast majority of Americans, even the people who don't necessarily medicate, are, you know, borderline indifferent. So we're really talking about, you know, a very small percentage of the people that we need to, you know, kill with kindness, so to speak. You know, we need to make sure that
right.
we go to them with education. We are open to them. When they have questions, that we answer them correctly. We have
well,
to make sure
yeah,
that,
and
that they, that they're, you know, we can do only as much as we can and be patient. That's how it's gone so far. And so far, the majority of the country is legalized. So as painful as it is to continue to wait, I know it's like it trends well. You know, we're
yes.
heading in the right direction.
Well, I mean, I think they've done plenty of polls where 60 and 70% of the population has zero moral issue or ethical issue with legalizing. I mean, come on. Everybody, you know, 30 years ago, you know, drug addicts were people who did heroin in the street and crack. And now it's everybody's family has a pill-popping addict. I was one of them. A middle-class housewife, you know, I never partied. You know, I never went to jail. I never went to rehab. I didn't do it for fun, but I was an addict right under people's noses, and my doctors were my dealers. My doctors were my dealers. I had one tell me, half of my patients are selling these pills, half of them are buying them, and handed me a prescription. They know they don't care. They do not care. No one cares. Anybody who would say there's not enough research, bull. Bull. The U.S. has been paying for research in Jerusalem since 1965. There's plenty of research. They just don't want to let go of this giant pharmaceutical machine that creates perpetual sickness to feed the, you know, the medicine industry, you know, conventional medicine, whether it be surgeries and diseases, you know, coming after the fact. We're giving ourselves diseases. We're eating poison. We're taking pills that are poison. They're synthesized plants because people are greedy. And I'm tired of hearing there's no research. There's not enough research. We don't know enough. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. I'm tired. You know, I don't want to hear that anymore.
Also know that as soon as they legalize it, that argument goes out the window, because then all the federally funded organizations can now research it fully.
Right. And give me a break.
Again, it's part of that larger conversation that, you know, people like you have been at the forefront of it and will continue to be at the forefront of it. You know, people like us that are, you know, longtime advocates, but first time skin in the game, you know, advocates, you know,
right.
Actual promoting the industry, actively trying to educate, trying to do positive things.
Yeah.
And to change that stigma.
Right.
And that's why we, you know, want to have really positive goals in the future. That's why we plant trees. That's why we want to be, you know, we know that we are the smaller company coming up. You know, we're all
right.
Spread across the country right now. We're doing great. However, we know that in order to really reach that pinnacle that we know we can,
right.
You know, it's going to take us making sure that we do the best we can to educate everyone and continue to do all these good things.
You can't deny the education. When we come back, we're going to go into our last segment with John and talk a little bit more about advocating and about what I'd like to know what you think we should do from here on out to clear the path. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
All right, welcome back to the final segment of Sweet Home Cannabama. I'm really enjoying myself tonight, John. I appreciate your perspective and learning so many things about you that I didn't really realize.
Yeah, likewise. This is great. I hope that we can do this again. You know,
anytime.
And you know, also use each other as a way to potentially find new ideas. You know, there's definitely
yes.
things you know that I don't. You know,
yes.
So it'd be excellent to continue this collaboration and learn new things about how to best educate, you know, because the majority of the market, majority of the potential market, I should say, is vastly those people
right.
who this could help, who this would help, who it would benefit them, you know, but
and they won't even
they
consider
might
it.
Be holding to that old mindset, that stigma. So being able to
right.
those people,
but take pain you know, medicine, that, take muscle relaxers, real. Take sleeping pills, take antipsychotics. You know, I always say because
so pills to counter the effects of those pills. So it's really they get you in
right.
the feedback loop of you know how do I escape, and then before you know it, your house looks like a pharmacy. You know,
oh so yeah.
Like
well, and how many people ever say I'm on 7 prescriptions and I feel amazing? No one ever says that.
And I feel amazing.
You know,
exactly.
But
yeah.
People start CBD and they get off those 7 and they're like, I feel amazing for real. You know, I always say too for here. Part of the stronghold of the stigma is the church, and I am very outspokenly a conservative Christian cannabis advocate, which sounds like a really long oxymoron, but it's a thing, even if it starts with me, because I was raised in the church. I believe in God. God delivered me from my addiction, and then he gave me Cannabama, the vision, the name. He gave, this is my kingdom work, okay? This is my mission. This is my calling from God. I know that in my bones. And that's why I don't worry at the end of the day. Even if I complain and cry and, you know, lay on the floor and scream about it, I know at the end of the day, once I flame out, I'm not going anywhere. God's not going to take that and let it die because we've done so much already. But I tell people all the time, if the church understood what it is, what it isn't, how it's used, and what it could do for the people of the church and making them more effective, I believe that this systemic dumbing down and impairing of our society is demonic. I think it's straight from hell. I think, and I know that might sound like strong language to you because we don't know each other very well, and I don't know what you think or what you believe, but this is all me. I believe that people are ineffective as mothers and fathers, as workers, as business owners, as teachers, as whatever they are in life. They're less effective when they're in pain, when they're in complete and abject misery from sickness, and they don't know where to go. This is their lot in life. This is the thorn in their side, whatever biblical, you know, their Job situation. No, it's not. It's not. And it's, some of it is so easily fixable. And if we weren't so concentrated on feeling like crap all the time, and or am I going to run out of pills? When can I get some more pills? I need stronger pills. You know, I need more pills. We would be more effective as people. And, you know, I don't know, in combination with the little screens we carry around, we're just all dumb now and no one's getting anywhere. And the church has, you know, is getting less and less effective towards society. They're getting less people in. It's becoming more entertainment. It's ridiculous. I think we're all just medicated. And if people were clear-minded and healthy, there is a way to have that. And if the church would just find someone like me, I will spend as much time and effort as humanly possible finding all the answers to satisfy everything they might have to question. But I know that that's why God gave this to me, because I will go out there and say these things publicly. I don't know how many people are listening right now. I don't know how many are regulars, how many are new, how many people listen because it's like a freak show. I don't know. But, well, because I know some people are like, she's on the radio again talking about the weed. But, you know, but they're here, but they're still here. They're listening. You know, I mean, it's a thing, man. It is a thing. It makes us more effective as people to lay down those sicknesses and those pills and the things that are keeping us from enjoying life. And we don't need to numb out, and we don't need an antidepressant, you know, that I liken to killing an ant with a sledgehammer. It's too much. You know, you have everything you need.
I agree. You know, and then there's also, you have to look at it from how do people want to medicate, and that's why you have to offer multiple different things.
Yes, the methods of consumption. And, that's exactly sure that why we do what we do, the variety.
Yeah, that's how we landed on tinctures. We were like, well, you know, actually, I think a large percentage of the people who could benefit from this probably wouldn't be interested.
They wouldn't want to vape. They really wouldn't. Exactly. So it's very smart of you to offer them an alternative like that. And that's why they like the gummies, too. We sell a lot of gummies. And people like that because they don't want to smoke or they don't want to vape. And, you know, it's kind of one extreme or the other. They either love to smoke and that's all they want, or don't even remotely suggest that because they look at you like you have three heads. And I get it, you know. So we try to have a product, a price point of quantity. That's why we sell single servings. Our products, we wait, we vet, we make sure the quality is there before we even suggest it to our customers. And we personally try them and decide as a group, yes, this is quality, or no, let's pass and wait for something better. And if we find something that supersedes what we have, we adjust, because people are jumping in and getting better and better. They're improving things all the time. We are always moving because we want the best. It is a new industry. And so that's why I say you guys knocked it out of the park.
The climate is very, you know, it's very, it's hard to make it in this, you know, current small business climate.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Even how it normally would be. So definitely trying to make sure that not only are you constantly on the forefront, but that you vet heavily and, you know, do a third party test for everything. So that's, that's something that you want to make sure that, you know, every single person, every vendor, I know you know, you're,
we don't do business with you if you can't provide that, period. Period. I don't care how good it looks, how good it works. If I can't show my customers either the COA in my hand or show them exactly where to get it, I'm not interested. Sorry, that's just a requirement. And anybody 100%. Who's doing it otherwise is doing a disservice to their customers. Yeah, there's no reason to because there's great companies.
We want to make sure that, you know, whenever, like, we see someone that has, you know, a different, perhaps an outdated POA or they're missing one, you know, we reach out to them even just to be like, hey, you guys should get that.
Right. Hey, like, fix your stuff, man. Yeah.
It's going to be competition, but at the same time, it's like for the health and well-being of the consumer at large, so to speak.
Right, because we saw with the vape industry last year.
We have to self-police our current industry.
Yes.
We really have to make sure that we hold ourselves and even our competitors to a very high standard for the betterment of the customer. Because at the end of the day, this is medicine.
Yes, it is. And I get real upset when people trivialize it. John, we're at the end of our show. This has been a great show. I'm really proud of this show. I hope that you will come back and do another show with me because I think we just touched on some things that really need to be explored. And I love talking to someone who can match me as far as the passion and the dedication. I would be hard-pressed to show you another company that I know of that comes to mind right now that sort of does for the community in their own way, like we do at Cannabama. And that makes me very proud. So I hope that you will join us again. And thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me. You know, anytime that we can talk about our industry is a good time, and we can also do a lot of good and learn and make new friends and, you know, promote small business currently in this.
Absolutely.
All
right.
In 3 days.
Yes.
Good to have you. Good to meet you.
Yes. And you guys can find High Sticks. You can find High Sticks at Cannabama and cannabama.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week in the new year. Good night.